Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now, guys. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using our promo code GHOST. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Current supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can log on to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Share your story there. Of course, social media. You can find us out there, Real Ghost Stories Online on Facebook. Lots of folks chatting about the stories that we have on the show there. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast to find us and interact wherever you may socialize, since most of us don't do it with human beings anymore.
Nope.
It's all online. Wouldn't it be great if suddenly you discover online that like one of the services is just for years has been pretending to be people, and you realize, oh my God, I haven't been talking with these people at all for the last 10 years, and you think you've been having conversations with your good friends and relatives, but you've never actually seen them in all that time. And it's all been some sort of really messed up algorithm that makes you believe you're having interactions with real human beings.
That would be very, very weird.
Boom! Just blew your mind.
Right.
That'd be a great movie plot for like a bad B-rate movie.
You know, and there might be something like that in the future with the way they're trying to use logarithms to anticipate responses.
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff like that out there now. The algorithms can really, they can do pretty amazing things, and they're getting better and better. My favorite, though, is the ones, and I say this sarcastically, not meaning they really are my favorite, are the telemarketing ones where they supposedly react to you. Mm-hmm. And they do an okay job, assuming that you're going to give them fairly standard responses until you start saying strange shit like, I'll go down the road because I always do. Like, I think I'm in love with my cat or things like that. They have no response, but it's like, hi, is this Tony? Yeah. Hi, I'm calling from blah, blah, blah. I was wondering, are you interested in this? And if you give them regular responses, oh, great. And it sounds like there's somebody talking with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of creepy because it does sound pretty real.
Yeah.
But there's just enough of something there that you just kind of go, wait a second. It's like the demons that appear as a loved one.
Okay, so how many times have you been duped? Because your favorite thing to do is to mess with these poor telemarketers that are just trying to make a buck.
Never. I know that it's them. I'm not talking to a human because you say something crazy, and that's how it dupes it. It's like, okay. So, and then it just keeps going back to the same message over and over with the exact same tonality and the voice and everything. And then you know it's a computer. And then eventually you say, am I really talking to a human being, or is this a computer? And then this is my favorite reaction. It's, you are interacting with a real human being. I am just speaking through a computer.
Okay.
So my guess is that maybe it has something to do with telemarketing companies using folks in other countries that have too strong of accents that would otherwise not get the sales done or would be difficult to understand by someone of a different speaking language.
Okay.
But they can interact through the computer because then it's a more clear dialect for those ears of wherever they're going. You know, in theory, part of it was I was thinking, oh, well, that could be a very interesting thing for a job for someone with a disability that can't speak, that they could speak through this. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's all just staple answers. It's not like they can just type in whatever words they want.
Press a button.
Yeah, it is really press a button. So I don't know how much of it is that or how much of it is we just don't trust humans or we don't. I don't know. Somebody along the line found some way of doing this and said, this is going to get us more sales than having a human being talking.
I don't think it's going to get more sales. I think it's going to cut overhead.
But you still need somebody behind it.
Not necessarily.
Until the algorithm is good.
That could be the answer. Yeah. I'm just talking to you through a computer.
Sure.
Bullshit.
That could be. It may just be the algorithm that's speaking to you.
Because why would you suddenly pay somebody and have a computer?
Well, exactly what I just said. Like if it was the language barrier or something like that.
I don't know. I think it's probably just computers.
If someone knows the answer to this, this is one of life's wonders.
You're still going to quote
the
lyrics to Hazard when they call, aren't
you? I've done that, too.
I know. I know you've done that.
I swear I left her by the river. I swear I left her safe and sound. And yes, I would be interested in saving 42% on my long distance.
Okay.
And then they're like, oh, great. And they just continue on with the call. They don't care that you left her by the river and that you left her safe and sound. It's kind of odd and troubling. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Amanda. I'm calling from Ohio. And I guess this is more of a question, but also a story. I'm going to start off with saying that my mother has said that I have always, as a child, been able to see ghosts and sense things that weren't always there. But what I can remember is that for some reason I got extremely scared. And I just didn't want to feel anything anymore. And so I cut myself off. I put up blocks. Started imagining over and over again that I had nothing but a big brick wall in my head. And I surrounded myself with that big brick wall. And by the time I was a teenager, I was no longer able to feel anything except the barest glimmer of what used to be so clear. Lately, though, I have had my own child, and I know that she can feel these things. And so in an effort to be able to see what she sees and feel what she feels, I have been trying to bring down that wall that is around me. So I have found different ways to reopen the third eye by looking online, by asking family, friends, different things like that. And this is where my question comes in, is that I want to know if any other listeners have had any experiences with doing this. Because what I am finding is that I am seeing a lot of shadows all around me. I started this process about a year and a half ago. And immediately, that very same day I started, I was seeing shadows surrounding my house, just as though they were observing me. They didn't seem to want anything, but they were there. And I saw them in my office building. Not doing anything, In fact, the time that I was most often seeing them was when I was opening the office up for the day. And during our staff meeting, they would hang out in the doors of our boardroom, not doing anything, just there. I am also now able to see and sense things coming in more and more strongly as time goes by. I went on a recent vacation and was in a hotel and was able to see what looked like a 2-foot figure with eyes extremely wide. Think owl wide, peering at me in the bathroom as I got ready to take a shower. There was nothing negative about it. I'd already been feeling as though I had been watched. As soon as I saw the figure, it was as though it was saying, "Hi, I'm here." And then those feelings went away. But these things are happening more and more often. And like I said, I just kind of want to know what some of your listeners might think, what you and Jenny think, and to get your opinion. And I also want to say I absolutely adore your show. I love hearing the banter between you and Jenny, and I am a proud EPP. So, thank you.
What do you think?
I think as you try to open yourself up more that, you know, I think energies are going to be first that you're going to start feeling, and then shadows second. I think it just kind of progresses from there. So I think she's on her way to achieving what she started out to achieve. But now it's kind of like, are you sure that that's what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no guarantee that your sensitivity, once you go down this path, is going to be exactly what your daughter's seeing or feeling. And I appreciate as a mother wanting to experience what your child is dealing with, but unless she's constantly terrorized and just cannot cope, and you're trying to do the last ditch effort of trying to figure out what exactly is going on, I don't know that this isn't something that she'll just outgrow.
Yeah.
And will kind of remedy itself.
Mm-hmm. It could, I could see it, you know, almost causing more harm or something if it's starting to bring more things in than good by just trying to understand it. Understanding is one thing, but a thing is, it's almost opening a door as well. And by opening that door, couldn't it open up things to the daughter too by someone else pulling that door open?
I think it could, because like you just said, if something is coming in that wasn't in the picture before, anybody that's susceptible to seeing or feeling it will probably then see it or feel it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of like saying, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not. It's like my daughter, my son, whatever, is really really sensitive to candles, and they're really they're too hot no matter where they are in the room. That's just it's just too much for them. Mm-hmm. So, but it's not for me normally. So what I'm gonna light this room on fire over here, and maybe I'll feel it how they feel about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, by doing that, by trying to get the understanding of their sensitivity to something, mm-hmm. That you may not naturally have, mm-hmm. Or not be on the same level of, it's going to end up engulfing everything even more than it would if there was just, okay, they're not good with candles.
And, you know, I don't want to tell another parent that they're doing something wrong. I think if I were in this situation, which we discovered over the weekend, kind of how sensitive one of our daughters actually is, I think if I were going through what she's going through, I think I would try to do everything I could to make it more of a safe
mm-hmm.
place and expand that white light and get that positivity and try and push out as much as I could so that it maybe affects the daughter less.
What are you referring to?
Livy.
With what?
The antique store.
What happened at the antique store? I'm having a complete brain fart.
She freaked out in two of the areas that...
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, share the story. Yes.
Okay, well, we have this neat little house antique store place that we kind of like to go to. I'm kind of thinking maybe it's more of a tourist trap antique place.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, they have some unique things. I like to go there and look around. And it's this weird maze of a place that you just kind of wander from room mm-hmm. to room. And each room leads to another room. And there are some places in that house / antique store that give you the creeps.
Yeah.
It gave you kind of the creeps mm-hmm. and your sensitivity is much lower than me. And now I know Libby would not go into some of those rooms.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, that's no problem. Go back with Dad. And she was just like, no, I cannot go in there.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. And it wasn't like there was something creepy in there,
yeah.
you know, that was scary. It wasn't like the suit of armor or something, you know, sure. that would freak out a child. It was just junk.
Yeah.
Or antique stuff, whatever. And so anyway, I was like, that's fine. No problem. And I had always kind of, because I'd been there before without her, kind of felt that in those areas as well.
Sure.
But I do that all the time. And,
yeah.
And I just move on. And you started talking to the cashier lady and mm-hmm. she had a plethora of stories. And guess where her stories were mainly taking place?
In that very room that she didn't want to go into.
Both of yep. those areas.
Yep. Yep. That was, and there was everything from possession in some of the stories or, you know, somewhat possession in some of the stories to hearing voices to you name it. I mean, it was like a little bit of, it was the greatest hits of ghosts.
It was. And she may have embellished some just for our entertainment.
Yeah.
But the fact that the stories that she mentioned that she said other people said they felt stuff.
Yeah.
It was in those two places. Something's going on with those two places. I know it just from my sensitivity.
Sure. Sure.
But Livy stood there, heard enough. And then she's like, she wanted to go out to the car. So she hit the door and she ran to the car. You did not see that because you were still listening. This lady was chewing your ear off.
Yeah.
But she ran yeah. to the car. I could not unlock it and let that child in the car fast enough.
We'll have to get her like a sage and some holy water for her backpack. Just in case she comes across anything, now that we know.
She does like antiquing, but she said she yeah. will never go back there.
She's normally, I mean, and the thing is, she's gone to probably hundreds of antique stores with us over the years, and she's never done that.
No.
Or said, no, I'm not going in this area. Mm-hmm. So, and that was without prompting. That was not even talking about the ghost stuff. It was just, I don't think so. So, yeah, you're right. That was, I had like a very much a completely, I couldn't even think what you're talking about for a
well,
moment.
Well, you had Harp with you wandering yeah. around and I was with Libby the whole
time. So I wasn't there when that exact moment occurred. So that's why I probably
And then Harp chimed in the car, spooky, spooky Libby.
Yeah,
she's just trying to fuck with Libby.
Ah, that's how they roll.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to say, while we were at the antique store, I was just comfy and feeling great. I was wearing my Mac Weldon.
I have to order you more so I can wash the set you have.
I put it in the wash finally because good. It's so comfortable.
Good.
It's good stuff, and it's for guys. It's basically better than whatever you're wearing right now. And I've just been someone who always pretty much got stuff at, you know, like the big box stores. Here's, you know, a large bag of undies or sweatpants or whatever. Just you know, there you go. I didn't really ever realize that there was like better stuff, for lack of a better term. But Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. So basically, you go to their website, find the stuff you like, and then they send it to you. It is the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants you will ever wear. I change into it every single day when I'm done with work. And, you know, mm-hmm. we're just hanging out and relaxing. And it's kind of silly because I really, in theory, could be wearing it all day because I'm just here
yeah.
in the house, in my office, and I'm usually not interacting with other human beings. So I really should just wear it all day. But most people have jobs that they go out to. So, you know, but it's great casual wear, too, on some of their stuff just for the weekends and stuff. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. and watch them less. So there you go.
Major plus.
That's my argument for wearing it for a couple days. They want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it and they will still refund you. No questions asked. So there you go. You can at least give them a try. And if for some reason it's not everything you thought it would be, you keep it and it's free. Check that out. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well. As well for going out and hanging out. Even like I said, some of the stuff, they do have stuff that you can wear to work and totally, totally fine and be very, very comfortable. So check it out, MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off using promo code GHOST. MackWeldon.com, promo code GHOST. Get 20% off that order, guys. You can thank me later. And so will your significant others when you don't change your underwear for a week. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, my name is Melissa. I was living in Ohio when this happened. I was 23 years old. I'm now 49, so it's been many years ago. I was visiting my parents and had a dog, a collie retriever mix, who I put in the side yard on a temporary leash on their clothesline while I was inside visiting. It was at night. And my dog started barking, and I went to go let her in, assuming she was barking at a neighbor or some commotion outside. When I went outside, in my neighbor across the street, in the neighbor's backyard, there was what I can only describe as a paper plate-sized ball of light that was glowing but not radiating light, and it was floating a few inches off the ground, and it was probably about 20 yards from me, and it caught my attention. I certainly didn't know what it could have been, and as I watched it, it started drifting toward me smoothly, like gliding and staying very low to the ground. And when it got to the neighbor's side of the street, there's like a 3-foot ditch. And it hesitated at the ditch, and then it disappeared as it went down into the ditch. And then it came up on the other side of the ditch, which would be in the street. And I just stood there shocked. My dog was barking like crazy. And I got the dog off the leash and ran inside the house and was just so upset that I was just weeping with fear. And I wouldn't leave my parents' house that night. I ended up staying. I didn't want to go outside in the dark to go home even. I have no idea what it was, but I've had a couple of experiences, and that was one of the more frightening ones. I have no idea what that could have been. It definitely wasn't something within our norm. Thanks.
Giant orb?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did she say what color it was?
I don't recall.
I don't think she said what color it was.
It's interesting when you're seeing it in person versus like through a camera.
Yeah.
And that's the more rare of occurrences. As to what it was, I have no idea other than probably something that wasn't normally there. I shouldn't say wasn't supposed to be there, because I think sometimes these things are supposed to be there. It's just we're the ones that are like, what the hell?
Right.
You know, without more info, it's very difficult to say what or who, but I do not blame her her trepidation in that experience. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hey guys, my name's Derek. Kind of a new caller or new listener, I should say. And I want to say I really like the show. And here's my little stories. Now, both of them evolve around Mammoth, California. I don't know where that is, but I don't know if you know where that is, but it's in California. Mountains, very popular ski resort. Anyways, I have two of them. Once when I was young, I want to say I was about 11, there were these cabins up in Mammoth that we used to stay at as kids. With my parents, my two brothers, and on the way there, my dad told us that, hey, there's a loft on the second story of the cabin, so whoever gets up, there's a little TV and there's a bed, so you can, you know, hang out by yourself. So, you know, being a little brat, as I was when I was a kid, right as we parked there, instead of helping everybody grab all the gear and get into the cabin, the 2.5-story with a little loft, I run straight up the stairs with my Nintendo 64 and all my crap, and the front door leads straight to the stairs. So the only way to get in is through the front door, but the stairs lead. There's no other entrances to the condo. So I run straight up the stairs with my bag, my Nintendo 64, and I'm going so fast that I'm watching my feet as I run up the stairs. And right when I get to the top of the stairs, I look up so I don't run face first into the railing, and I see this woman. She's got to be in her, look like she's in her 30s, but looks straight out of the 70s. And I noticed that right away. I was an 11-year-old kid. She had like a brown turtleneck on, long brown hair, and she just stood there and looked at me. You know, I noticed her for about a good 5 seconds until I said anything, because I wasn't scared. I just was caught off guard and didn't know anyone else was going to be there, because it wasn't a shared thing, a shared cabin. So as I looked at her, she just stared and smiled at me. Didn't look grim or anything, just looked, you know, like she was going to say something or welcome me in. And so I just said, hello. I didn't know anyone else was here. Oh, okay. So I ran right back down the stairs. And like I said, the stairs lead right to the front door. There's no other entrances or exits. And she was at the top of the stairs on the second floor. So they got back down. My back is, I'm standing in the threshold of the door. So the only way she could have left is walked past me. So I talked to my parents and I say, hey, there's a woman here. Is she supposed to be showing us around? And, you know, they tell me, no, it shouldn't be. It's, you know, this is the cabin and there shouldn't be anyone else here. I mean, there's a couple of cabins around the area, but it's one of those timeshares and, you know, it could have been. She could have been, you know, the owner or whatnot. So, okay, nobody else here. It should just be us. Okay, so they all went up with me, and we didn't see anyone. And the only way she could have gotten out of that cabin is, like I said, walked past all five of us or jumped off the balcony, which had no ladder, no stairs, nothing. It was a pretty big drop down a hill in the woods. So that freaked me out. And the whole time I was there, I was just, you know, scared shitless the whole time. But anyways, the second story I have that has to do with Mammoth as well. There's some lakes a little past it, called the Virginia Lakes, and this is another time. This is when I was about 19 or 20. I'm with my dad and a bunch of my cousins. It was a family fishing trip, or a father-son fishing trip, so my cousins and some cousins' friends and all that. So there's this lake called Moat Lake that's on the top, very top of this hill. It's a natural lake. It's pretty awesome. Not too much fishing, but we just like to fish and go up there, and it's really, you know, nice and serene and secluded. So it's about a three-mile hike from the base. So it's all forested at the, you know, at the base, and you have to cross this mountain and then hike up a mountain about 3 miles. So as we're all walking together, my dad and I are up front, my brother and the rest of them are behind us, you know, a couple paces behind us. We're all walking in a big group. There's really nobody there. You can see people, but it's a daytime. You don't really see, didn't really see too many people. So once you cross the tree line, there's no trees for about, I want to say about 150 yards. So about a football field and a half. There's no trees. It's just the side of the mountain to your right, and a drop off to your left that's pretty steep with jagged rocks and leads down to a lower river, lake. So as we're heading through, we're about, I want to say, 50, 60 yards through this clearing. Like I say, there's no trees. The tree line's behind us. So we get to the next tree line. We're about halfway there almost. And as we're about halfway there, we see this older woman in her 70s or 80s possibly. She's like kind of power walking, you know, those older people that are really into, she kind of put those people to shame, the ones that go to the mall on the weekends. In the morning, she was fast. She was coming towards us, you know. She's wearing a pink like workout outfit and, you know, no backpack or anything. There's no water on her, but she's kind of almost sprinting, like she's power walking so fast. And for her age, we're kind of amazed, my dad and myself. Everybody else is behind us just talking, and, you know, my dad and I are walking towards her. We're all hiking with our gear and our fishing poles, and you know, she walks up to us or pikes by us or whatever, power walk, and my dad and I both say, hello, good morning, how are you doing? And she looks at us and smiles and says, good luck, guys. And as she passes us, she just speeds by. I turn to my left and say, good luck to you too. And my cousin behind me says, what'd you say? I said, oh, we're talking to the old woman. And he goes, what old woman? There's a bunch of us, right? There's no way she could have just walked past all of us. But I know my dad saw her, and I know I saw her too, obviously, because, you know. So my dad and I look at each other and go, where's the old woman? We look, and she's gone. The only way there's no way she could have, you know, sprinted 50, 70 yards in a matter of seconds past us to the tree line. There's no way. It's clear. You can see it's like a football field. If you're on a football field with somebody else, you can see them. There's no way they can hide, you know. So that freaked us out. And good luck. You know, that we really took that those words, you know, we took those words into consideration. It was a really steep trip up the mountain, and there's a lot of snow and pretty dangerous. We got out. Thank God everybody was safe. We had a good time. Anyways, that was one of those, both of those stories I like to tell to my family and my cousins, and a lot of them like get freaked out, and one of them doesn't want to stay at the cabin anymore. He's the cabin we go to all the time. I've never seen this ghost ever since then, but the woman, the one in the cabin. But anyways, my dad, you know, he likes to talk about the hiking older woman, but he never ever once talked about the cabin ghost until just recently. I want to say about a year ago, I was telling a friend, and my dad was walking by at a party, and he says, "You know what? You know that woman at the cabin? I saw her." And this is about 10 years after, you know. And I go, "What do you mean you saw her? Why didn't you tell me when I was a kid? I was freaking out." He goes, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't realize it until a little after when we were at the cabin the second day, I believe." He said he was downstairs by the front door. He was unpacking some stuff. My mom was upstairs cooking, and he thought he heard her call his name, and his name's Larry. She thought he heard him say, "Larry, Larry, come," you know. He goes, what, you know, they like to yell at each other a lot, you know, they've been married for a long time. And my dad just unpacking, and he didn't want to bother with it, because he likes to call him for, you know, dumb reasons sometimes. And he thinks he sees her in the corner of his eye, coming, you know, in the threshold of the door in the room that he's in. So he looks over, and he sees no one, but he knows he saw a woman walk up that he thought could have been my mom. But at the same time, he said, "You know what, I thought she was a little thinner than your mom, huh, at first, you know." So I just got to show you that I wasn't crazy, and he was just, he validated my first story. But it was just kind of, I was pissed off at him. He didn't tell me at first after all those years. Yeah, two different ghost stories in a Mammoth / Virginia Lakes area. I don't know what they mean, but you know, these are the only two I've ever seen. I have a lot of family that have haunted houses and whatnot, but none of those things ever happened to me. There's a lot of hair pulling and shit like that. There's a ghost in my cousin's house who used to pull hair if you were bad, if you slept on the couch in the living room by yourself. But I was battled. I was a brat when I was a kid, but I had to sleep there too, but I never got my hair pulled. But anyways, I'm rambling on like the rest of the people that call. I hope I got to the facts and didn't ramble on. And if you guys use the story, cool. If not, I'll still listen. I'll keep up the good work, guys. And like I said, I'm a new listener. I just started listening about 3 days ago. I stumbled on your channel on YouTube, but it's pretty awesome. I'll keep up the good work, guys. Take care.
The old lady in the pink jogging suit and her ominous message of good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought good luck was kind of, it just depends on how you say it.
Is that like, oh, bless your heart?
It just depends on how you say it. Yeah.
In a certain way.
Yeah. I mean, if you've just figured out she's a ghost and she's telling you good luck, they better heed that warning, because you have no idea what.
It doesn't mean good luck.
No, what her challenge was.
Nor does it mean, oh, bless your heart.
No.
There's no blessings being meant for your heart.
Not always.
No.
Not always.
I never understood what that's such a sadistic, sarcastic Southern thing.
It is. I love it dearly.
I'm trying to think of the equivalency for Northern. Is there?
I don't know.
Are we just not as sadistic?
I don't know.
I'm not saying, I'm just joking. I'm trying to think of if there's.
I think it's so funny because it confuses you, because sometimes it's meant genuinely.
Yeah.
And then other times it's like, you're just an idiot.
Well, I didn't even know it ever meant something else other than that. than like nice.
Yeah.
I never realized it meant you're an idiot.
It was funny when you and Gooch were talking about that, you two Northern boys now living in the South.
Yeah.
Trying to realize that when people tell you bless your heart, it's not always a good thing.
Well, then you have all these flashbacks, you're trying to think of like, well, how many times has somebody said that to me? It's like, God, it's got to be at least once a week. And then you're like, oh, shit. Everyone I interact with thinks I'm an idiot.
I don't know why we do it. I don't know.
But I don't know. I cannot think of a Northern equivalent. Maybe there is one, and I'm not saying that there isn't. That I one does not come to me. If someone has one, feel free to share.
But good luck being told to you by a ghost is right up there with it.
Yeah, that is right up there. I completely agree. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to this one. I think we got a question on this one. Hi.
Hi, my name is Denise. I live in Apopka, Florida. And recently my cat died. And he doesn't seem to want to leave the tree that's in my front yard. But I'm used to having a ghost in the window. My boyfriend, Sean, passed away from a bad car accident about a year and a half ago. The night that it happened, I hadn't even been told yet. And it was weird. I could see his face with his sunglasses, not looking at me, but just looking through my window, and his hand. And that morning, his mother called me and told me that he got in a car accident and passed away. For 3 days, I saw that face with the sunglasses in the hand. And on Saturday, when his mom went to go ID the body, she said he was decapitated and his hand was cut off. I see spirits. I see dead people. Anyways, I just thought I'd share. God bless.
Your thoughts?
Well, I think she's, you know, pretty confident that is what she's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never heard of a cat that's dead that won't leave a tree. That's a new one. That's pretty cool. But I wonder if the boyfriend's ghost stopped showing up after a while or if she still sees it periodically.
Yeah. I don't know. The ghost cat would bother me.
Why?
Because I would always be like thinking there's a real cat that like is stuck in a tree.
Why do people think cats get stuck in trees? Because if they can get up there, can't they get down?
Sometimes I think they can and sometimes I think they can't. And sometimes cats do get stuck in trees because they sit up there and they just meow because they're afraid to come down.
Oh.
Now, in theory, could they come down? Probably. It's like a person, you know, that gets, you know, it's like at the top of a slide, okay. Like a kid. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you can come down just fine. Just do it. Just go down the slide. But, you know, the 3-year-old may go, I'm too scared to go down the slide.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same sort of thing with a cat in a tree.
Okay.
So there you go.
I never worried about that.
More knowledge of cats and trees than you thought you would get today.
My outdoor / barn cats may have been up and down trees all the time.
Yeah.
Never would have known.
I wonder how many cat corpses are found high in trees by people who cut down trees. Or if the cat eventually, instinct says, you have to go down, and they find a way to get down if they're starving. Or if there's ever just, you know, cats are stubborn. If they're ever just like, fuck it, I'm going to die here. And they'd rather take death than give in to trying something else.
I would think
else.
That when the cat dies, that something would cause it, wind or something would cause it to fall out.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if like one ever just got stuck up there and it's, you know.
I want to hear the story about the cat corpse falling out of the tree. That's the story I want to hear.
I was walking outside one day, beautiful sunny day, and sat down underneath a large oak tree and had a picnic and everything was all spread out, chocolate-covered strawberries and the pasta, and all of a sudden, boom!
Dead cat in the middle of everything.
Right there, on everything, ruined the picnic.
Yeah.
That'd be a great story for the show.
I think you probably wouldn't want to be under that tree because you'd be smelling it anyway, so.
No, I don't know. It's up to, I could see you completely missing the scent if you're directly below it because it just kind of wafts outward, not necessarily straight down. It's probably like the one safe spot you don't smell it. It's like an optical illusion.
Okay.
A smellical illusion.
Uh-huh.
I just invented a new word, smellical.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's a new word that we learned today on the show as well. Smellical, everyone.
Smellical.
What would the correct term be for that?
An olfactory illusion.
Yeah, there you go. You and your fancy damn words again.
Bless your heart.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. If you like our show, help keep us on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person, sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and a whole lot more. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.